The Bible reading today comes from Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, but yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Some of you may not be aware that Jesus the Game Changer is an Australian program. And over the 200 churches around Australia already participate in this church-wide series of study. There is a great sense of excitement that we are undertaking this. This is a series number one, and there is a series number two just published and available for, so hopefully we can do it in a series two sometime later. One of the exciting things about this is over the next 6 weeks of studies, starting today, will be correlating to the theme of Holy Week and Easter, and we are building on this whole thing of which means for Jesus to be the game changer within our Western civilization. As you have been already told, there will be a group study on Thursday for six topics: Jesus, equality, women and children, care, leadership, and forgiveness. There are about 31 people who already signed up to attend this study. Am I right, Lori? 31? I hope we may have a few more to register today. And I believe that God will do what he wants to do in our lives and the life of our church through this study. And it is exciting, but we may wait and see how God continues to transform our lives and the life of others as well. Let us pause for a moment to commit to pray. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that you bring life through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we begin this series, we pray that you will lead us and guide us. Especially we pray for the leaders who are leading for this study over the next 6 weeks. We pray that you give them your wisdom. We just pray for those people who decide to attend these studies and others considering to join, that you will give us a space within this week, being able to explore, think and process and respond to what's happening within this you brought together. We pray that we may have a clear understanding of who you are and what you have done and what you may want us to do and to be. We may experience of a process of your transforming us in our lives. We also pray that this may motivate us to approach and introduce your gospel to those people who may have known you or haven't been on the edge of Christian life. We pray that you will be glorified in all of this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been lots of researches about the most influential person in human history. This is one of those researches. And the outcome of their research was of all the people of history, recent and not, was that the most influential person to have ever lived was Jesus of Nazareth. In the first episode of our study this week, Carl Fass interviewed the computer scientist Stephen Skinner, who undertook a study to analyze Wikipedia. He looked for things like how long an article is, how many times it is read, how many links to it, and how many times it was edited. And Jesus came out number one. Jesus has had a great impact on history. He's the most important person who ever lived. He's the most unexpected person to ever be remembered. However, this outcome is surprising when you consider what Jesus left at the end of his time here on earth. Jesus didn't own any property. Jesus didn't write any books. Of course, there are four Gospels recorded about Jesus, his life and his death and his teaching and ministry. However, it wasn't written by Jesus, but by four different authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Often we say Jesus is the head of the church, but remember, Jesus didn't start the church while he was, still on earth. He didn't start any organizations at all. Jesus didn't hold any positions in politics. He had a few followers, probably about 120 people, as Acts chapter 1, 15 refers. In his lifetime, Jesus traveled to very limited places, mostly to a small region in Israel. It is strange, because Jesus was crucified on a cross and died in complete humiliation and insignificance. It seemed there was a clear sign that Jesus was nothing. Yet today, people are still talking about him. According to a 2017 statistic, the top 10 organized religions of the world, around 33% of the world's population, 2.3 billion people, follow Jesus. Jesus, who never had any political party, never had any army, never had any children, never wrote anything, but who died on a cross in anonymity 2,000 years ago, he's the most influential person in human history. This morning we are going to look at four key issues to consider when thinking about the person of Jesus and his influence. First, Jesus was a person in history. How do we know that Jesus was a real person who lived? The best explanation of the historical data and record prove that Jesus was a real person in history, such as pieces of writings about Jesus going back to just a couple of decades after Jesus' life. People who followed Jesus wrote about this individual in history. Some of the best pieces of evidence are writing by others who were not followers of Jesus. Those historians mentioned Jesus, people like Josephus, Tacitus, and Pliny. And Josephus was a Jewish scholar and historian between AD 37 and 100, and Tacitus was a Roman senator and historian of the Roman Empire between AD 58 and 120. Pliny is much younger. He was a Roman senator between AD 62 and 115. If Jesus was not an actual person in history. Why? Why would these Roman and Jewish writers have referred to Jesus and his followers in the early church? Jesus was a person in history. And secondly, what we know of Jesus was from those who tell the story of Jesus, of all he said and did. And they were close to him, and eyewitnesses to his life. And their purpose of writing was to let people know of the remarkable person of Jesus of Nazareth. If you read Luke chapter 1, the beginning of Luke chapter 1, you know, what we can find is that Luke, who we know was a physician, gave us his explanation of why he wrote his account of Jesus. See, he says, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I to decided to write an orderly account for you." Luke does the same thing when he writes about the Paul and the early church in Acts chapter 1. See, John 20, 30-31 and John 21, 24. The author of the Gospel of John, gives his explanation for why he wrote his account of Jesus. He says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Another key issue to consider when thinking about the person of Jesus and his influence is those people who followed Jesus gave their lives for what they believed. Today's passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we know the timing of this letter to the church at Corinth due to a reference in Acts chapter 18:12. This place is Paul in Corinth during the specific years that Galileo was a governor in Corinth. And Galileo can be dated accurately as between AD 50 and 52. The letter to Corinth was written around AD 55. When Paul writes, he quotes what seems to be a poem or agreed statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a statement that Jesus was born, died, and rose again, and this was agreed in the church from the very earliest of times. The clear evidence is that the belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus was the foundational belief of the church from the very beginning. In result of their belief, many who followed Jesus sacrificed their lives. If you look at the Acts chapter 7, 54-60, Stephen was the first martyr, the first victim who was killed in Christian tradition. If you look at Acts 6 and 8 onwards, you can find that he was richly blessed by God and full of power, performed great miracles and wonders among the people. Yet, Stephen was accused of blasphemy and condemned and criticized by the members of the Sanhedrin, which is a Jewish council. It was recorded in Acts that Stephen was stoned to death after he was falsely accused of speaking against the temple and the law. In the book of Acts, Luke describes how the early church suffered cruel persecution. Numerous crypts and chapels in the Roman catacombs bear witness to those early Christians who would go down in the catacombs to worship during periods of persecution. So there are many evidence that those followers of Jesus gave their lives for what they believed. If Jesus was not an actual person in history, why would they suffer from any of those persecutions? The last key issue to consider when thinking about the person of Jesus and his influence is Jesus didn't start an ideological movement to change society, but he changed lives one person at a time. Jesus the Game Changer as a series looks at the impact that the life and teaching of Jesus has had on fundamental values of Western nations. This can be to the assumption that these ideas changed the whole world and brought in sweeping societal shift in belief, behavior, and ethics. This would be a false assumption. While Jesus' teaching changed the society's social relations, lives are only changed one person at a time. Not only is Jesus' impact on one person at a time, it was often influencing people who were not looking for Jesus or for a change. I think a good example is St. Paul. He was prominent Jew and Pharisee with the best teaching and family background. Paul was a man who hated Christians, who made a living seeking out Christians and throwing them in jail. Paul spoke Agrippa of his objection to persecute the followers of Jesus. Yet, on his way to Damascus, Jesus interrupted Paul's journey and his life. The outcome was a life revolutionized by Jesus and the birth of perhaps the world's greatest missionary. This is still true today. Even today, Jesus is a game changer. He comes the way he did 2,000 years ago, telling stories that haunt us and bringing us to the realization that we need him. Jesus has always changed the world one person at a time. Those who have followed Jesus like Paul, Augustine, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Mother Teresa, and Ian Harper in the first episode of our study have gone on to change their world. Remember, the fact that what Jesus does is to change one person at a time, and what Jesus wants to do is change your life and my life when you and me are ready. Jesus is the game changer. He has changed my life, and I know that he can change yours. As I conclude my message, I'm going to play a video clip, the most influential person in history.
Who else's life has dictated time? Who else in this way has shaped the history of humankind? Who else has influenced music, literature, education, expression, charity, culture, architecture, art, the human connection? Who else could cause such a revolution in merely 3 years from a small unknown town with 12 clueless volunteers? Who else could do this with no weapon, no army, no money, no home, no new religious book, no palace, no throne? Who else didn't even have to write down a single word and yet shake the lives of so many that they wrote everything they heard? Who else would wash the feet of betrayers, confront the pride in religious prayers? Who else could heal the sick and give sight to the blind? Who else could raise the dead? Who else's words could ease the mind? Who else is the path, the perfect word, the way, the truth, and giving vine, the bread of life, the brand new wine? Who else is king and prince of peace? Who else is cornerstone? Who else is life's foundation? Who else makes all things known? Who else is the lion, the lamb, the morning star, defining love, the living water reservoir? Who else could take the pain of an innocent death, take the punishment for our offense, and with their final breath, forgive the ones that put them there. And who else in all of history has ever raised themselves from the dead? Who else was man yet fully God with us? Who else is more than what the world could ever give us? Who else was man yet God through and through? Who else from the start has always been there with you? Who else is the proof, the lesson, the friend? Who else is Savior? Who else was the Father sent? Who else is waiting for you at the end? No one else. No one else but Jesus.
Who else influences people's lives so much? Jesus is the one. Jesus is the game changer. Amen.